up, everybody? You guys excited to live a fit life in 2019? A life fit for service in the kingdom of God. You know, we're going to be continuing this theme that we started last semester. And I'm so excited for a new year, a new semester. We really had an amazing 2018 as a New Jersey campus ministry. You know, through this group of people, we saw 22 people baptized into Christ last year. Is that exciting? We saw leaders raised up and sent out. We saw incredible miracles and growth and just great things happening through this group of people. And it's so exciting to be heading into a new year, ready to keep building God's kingdom together. We're going to have an impact. We've been having an impact. And God is going to use us. Amen?
Yes.
You know, as was said, it's my birthday today. So thank you, guys. I'm excited about it. I do want to just say that however this goes tonight, because it's my birthday, I'm expecting some encouragement at the end, some applause, some woo-hoos and amens along the way. So don't let the birthday boy down. You know, it's I'm 29 today. And so one more year in my 20s. You know, I became a disciple right before turning 20. And so it's really cool to think about all of my 20s. This whole decade was spent in Christ. And just how much different they were in the trajectory of my life from my 20s because I decided to have my life be influenced by Jesus. And just the difference that my life is. And I would say that as somebody who's 29 now and soon to head into my 30s, and I would rather be nowhere else than to be in God's kingdom, here with you, in this family. To be preaching God's word tonight, there's nowhere else that I think would be better to be on my 29th birthday. I'm so grateful for the influence of Jesus in my life and that I get to now be used by God to influence others. You know, we're going to be talking tonight about fit life, a life fit for service in the kingdom of God, and a little bit about influence.
All right.
You know, when you think about your life, how many of you have had a bad influence in your life? Somebody who's been a bad influence, right? All of us. How many of you have been a bad influence to other people? Right? You know, to my shame, I remember when I was like 13 or so, taking one of my best friends, Bobby Ritter, to the mall with me to teach him how to steal clothing and CDs together. I was like, bro, this is how you do it. And now we went to the mall and I trained him. Here's how you do it. You know, when you think about your life, though, how many of you, if you think about your life, how many of you would say, I want to be a good influence?
Yes.
I want to have a good impact on this world. How many of you would say that Jesus has been the greatest influence of anybody in your life? Absolutely. You know, Jesus has influenced my life more than anyone. And now, because of Jesus' influence, just a few years after training Bobby how to steal, I was teaching Bobby what it is to be a disciple and baptizing him.
Yeah.
And then going on campus, teaching him, here's how you steal people from Satan and study the Bible with people and training him how to share his faith. And so we go from being bad influencers to being influenced by Jesus to becoming influencers for God in this world. You know, no one ever has or ever will influence the world and people's lives more than Jesus did.
That's right.
More than Jesus does. Most of us were there a few Sundays ago hearing Steve Schaaf preach about the impact of Jesus. And just how over these last 2,000 years, every facet of life we could think about in society and in resources, in music and art, and in just every single different thing you could think of, Jesus has had the greatest influence in this world. In Matthew 4, verse 13, it says about Jesus, Matt read it last week, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. So in this world, there was darkness, and then Jesus came in, and now there was light. In this world, there was just death, and then Jesus came in, and now there can be life. And what I believe is that this world today needs the influence of Jesus more than ever.
Yeah.
That when we look at our lives, people's lives, at the world, we see, man, people need light. They need life. They need Jesus.
Yes.
You know, the Word of God says that people are living as captive to Satan. That Satan has taken them captive to do his will, to do what he wants them to do with their life. The Word of God says that people are living with seared consciences. That means maybe as a child they felt bad about something, but as they keep doing it, now they just live lives where their consciences are seared. Wow. And don't realize the danger and the wrong in what they do with their lives. In the Word we read that people are led by their sinful desires. That temptation and their sinful desire guides them and drives their decisions, and that they're led by their sinful desires. The Word also says that people are led and influenced by lies and by empty and deceptive teachings and philosophies of this world.
That's right.
Do you guys see that in this world?
Yeah.
Captive to Satan, seared consciences, led by sin, empty and deceptive teachings and philosophies. Mm. You know, I look at the world and that's what I see happening.
Right.
I look at my life and I see that that's happened in my life. Do you see it in people's lives, your friends, your family? You know, the people that you interact with, strangers, do you see the influence of darkness in this world? Mm. You know, we've got to see it. I think it's pretty easy to see. And when I see it, I want to do something about it.
Right.
You know, when you see it, do you want to do something about it? Do you say, you know what? I don't want to let this influence me. I want to influence it.
Right.
You know, this world needs Jesus's influence more than ever. And I believe Jesus is the greatest influencer. And I also believe that the Bible says he's chosen you and he's chosen me to keep influencing the world through.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus wants to do. You know, turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read a few verses here. You guys with me?
Yeah.
So the title of my lesson tonight is Be an Influencer. We want to live a life fit for service in the kingdom of God. Jesus, I want to help build your kingdom. I'm here in this world to help build your kingdom in this world.
Come on.
Well, part of living a life fit for service in his kingdom is to be an influencer.
Right.
That you're someone in this world not to be influenced, but to be the influencer. You're here to make a difference in this world for God.
Let's go, Rob.
To have an influence, the definition, is having an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something.
Mm.
Having an effect, making a difference on someone or something's character, development, or behavior. Now, Jesus' plan to win the world is you. It's us, it's his church, with each part doing its work. And Jesus is calling you to be an influencer just like he was. He's saying that you should and can have a godly life, a godly effect on the character, behavior, and development of the people that you interact with just like he did. Isn't that inspiring?
Yeah.
And so my hope is that we could all decide tonight, that this could be a decision we make for God, to decide, look, I am not in this world to be influenced by it, but to be the one doing the influencing for God. I'm not here to let the world influence me. I am here to be the one influencing the world for God.
Amen.
And that you'll own your call to be an influencer for God in this world. That we'll leave here and decide we're not going to live tamed, timid, easily swayed, or afraid lives, but really own the power that's in us and the role that God has given us to be the game changers in this world for him.
Love it.
Satan is doing way too much every day to influence people towards him and away from God. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about make the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. And therefore, be filled with the Spirit. And so we got to look at this world and go, nuh-uh. Satan has done far too much and is using too many people, too many things in too many ways. It's time that we step up and be the people God's called us to be.
Amen.
To be the force for God, the force for good, and to be the game changers, the influencers for him in this world. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. Here's what Jesus says to you tonight. He says, you are the salt of the earth.
Come on.
But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know, right here, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You know, in the Bible, it says that Jesus is the light of the world. And the scripture says it is as a disciple that Jesus lives in you by his spirit. And so if he's the light of the world and he lives in you, that makes you the light of the world today. So that you're the light to influence this world just like Jesus did. You know, when you're in a dark house or a dark room or a dark basement, doesn't turning the light on make all the difference? You're like, ooh, okay, I could be in here now. You know, or sometimes when you've got some food that's so-so and then you just take out the salt and sprinkle a little on, doesn't it make all the difference? I know for me it does. Shauna knows for me it does. She's discipled me on it. You know, light makes a difference. Salt makes a difference. You know, light and salt, it could bring things to life. And that's who Jesus was and that's who Jesus is calling you to be. That's who Jesus is saying we are to be. And so to be an influencer, you've got to know your identity as one and own it. You've got to know I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. You've got to know it and then you've got to own it. You've got to believe, man, God didn't fill you with light so that you could hide under a bowl. He filled you with light so that you could be on a stand and stand out. Right? When you're in a house or when you pull up to a house and the light is off, imagine you're driving to pick somebody up for Devo and all the lights are off. You're like, are they even home in there? You know, when you pull up to a house and all the lights are off, you wonder, is anyone home?
Yeah.
You know, Bradley and I have been wrestling on the bed a lot lately. We've got this thing where we go under the blankets and it's pitch black. And he just says, anybody in there? And he's just like, hello, anybody in there? Because it's dark and you can't see anything. And the assumption is anybody even there?
Right. Good point, Brad.
You know, our lives as disciples shouldn't leave us or people wondering, is Jesus in there?
Wow.
Is anybody in there? Or are you just like everybody else? You know, our lives should be obvious. No, Jesus is in here.
Yeah.
He's home in here. I don't got a bowl covering him or the shades drawn. No, Jesus is alive and home and well in here.
Come on,
you know, in your family, the house you live in your family, on your campus, in conversations, in your classroom, wherever you are, God picked you to be his influencer. You know that if it was asked, who's in your family, in the classroom, or on your campus, who's the light in here? Who's the one to be a light to everybody else in here? Who's in here to make this place what it's supposed to be, to make this place right? God would say, you are. If you can imagine a spotlight, boom, on you sitting in your seat in the classroom. The whole room would look at you. But that, even though that's not happening, that's the way God sees it.
Right.
You're in there as his special, set apart man or woman of God to be the influencer to everyone else in there. Everyone else in your family, everyone else in your campus, on your classroom. Do you see yourself as the light of the world? Are you living that way? Are you owning it? Are you shining or pulling down the shades? You know, we need to be influencers, not Christians living incognito. You know that finally people find out later, if we study the Bible with them, maybe that we're a Christian. No, people need to see from the way we live our lives that we stand out for God.
That's right.
There can't be incognito Christians. We got to be Christians that are influencers. Know it and own it. You know, we can't be Christians who are filled houses with the lights off, where we've got the Spirit in us, but we're just blending in. Doing nothing or just not being different. Now we must be the influence over darkness wherever we are, whoever we're with, because that's what Jesus sent us to be. That's his plan for the world. And so we got to decide to have the conviction, man, I'm going to be the one influencing the world, not being influenced by it. I'm not going to let worldliness in people or in my environment break down and hide my Christianity or put it under a bowl or snuff it out. I'm going to be the one pushing Satan out of here. I'm going to be the one influencing light into the darkness. Don't lose your saltiness by being corrupted by the world. That's what it says there. If it loses its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything, right? You know, the world, it tries to make you angry, doesn't it? The world tries to make you bitter or complain. It tries to make you give in on your convictions and compromise. You got to decide not to listen. But you're going to make the world listen to you instead. Not listen to you, but listen to God. Listen to the scriptures. We can't be salt with sand or dirt mixed into it. Do you want to put that on your food? How much do you hate when you get sand on the beach in your mouth? There's salt in there, but it ruins everything, right? And so we just want to be pure salt. Not with the world, not with some sand or dirt mixed in. It's useless when salt becomes polluted in that way. So don't be salt trying to fit in with the sand of the world. We got to be in the world, but not of it.
That's right.
The way to win the world is not by becoming worldly, right? We don't become more like the world to win the world. We need to become more like Jesus to win the world. You know, when you look at your life, who would you say is influencing who more? Do you think as you go through your day that you're making more of an influence on the world, or would you say the world is creeping in more and more on you? Who's influencing who more? You know, rather than being influenced by the world to be quiet, to do nothing, or to have a bad attitude, to change your beliefs or your behavior, we've got to be influenced by Jesus more so that we could be the influencers in the world that God sent us to be. If we can make sure, man, Jesus is influencing me more than anything else, then we could turn around and forget being influenced by the world and be the ones in the world influencing it. Amen? In John 15, verse 5, which you could read that whole section, Jesus says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit.
Yeah.
Apart from me, you can do nothing. So apart from Jesus, what can we do? Nothing. We can't be influencers against the world. We'll cave to it. That's what we did before we were Christians, right? But if we remain in Jesus and Jesus remains in us, if we stay close to him, influenced by him, if we stay influenced by Jesus, if we remember who he is, what he did for us, if we remember that he's with us always, if we remember that as a baptized disciple, I have the Holy Spirit of God, which is Jesus himself living in me,
wow,
the fullness of Christ living in you, that the Spirit is ready to be unleashed to influence the world for good, then that's going to help you a whole lot to not be influenced by the world, but to be the one influencing it. Remain in Jesus and let him remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. You'll have a huge impact. You'll be an influencer.
Let's go, bro.
But this doesn't happen automatically. We have to wake up and choose, I'm going to deny myself daily and follow Jesus. Die to the world and live for Christ. We've got to choose not to be influenced by the world and choose to be influencing it by the power of the Spirit. Amen. You know, I do want to point out, I really think that the secret weapon, if there's a secret weapon for being an influencer, it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, if you're like, how can I be an influencer? How can I? We look at ourselves. I remember being the only Christian at CCM and just thinking, why me? How am I supposed to win this campus for God?
Wow.
You know, the answer is the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit. It's the fact that Jesus is literally living in you, with you, as the ultimate influencer, ready to do this. The Spirit makes you an influencer for God. How so? Well, for me, and I think from the scriptures, really owning, man, I have the Holy Spirit, the fullness of Jesus, literally with me. It should increase your faith.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, I'm not by myself. Jesus is here. So what can happen? It should increase your faith. It should give you, it should give you a sense of power. Right, man, I'm not just me empty. I'm me filled with Jesus. I've got the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth with me. The one who could raise the dead, calm the storms, and who could command demons and legions and all of that. That's who's with me. It should give you confidence. It should give you a sense of power. It should help you live with a sense of potential. Man, the Spirit's with me, and I don't even understand the Spirit. He's in the heavenly realms orchestrating things. That's crazy. So that should help you live with potential. Man, something can happen here because the Spirit's involved.
Yeah, yeah,
the Spirit's with me. And it should give you insight. If you really pray for the Spirit to give you guidance, you can really believe, all right, I'm going to get some wisdom and some insight here. And especially as you go to what Ephesians 6 says, that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And so you can listen to the Spirit literally by reading the Bible. That's the Spirit. And so you have the Word, the Spirit with you through the Word to tell you what to do and what's right. And lastly, I think the Spirit helps us be influencers. To me, it gives me a strong sense of accountability. You know, I'm like, man, no other disciples are here, but the Spirit is. So I should do the right thing. I should speak up because I serve the audience of one, which is Jesus. And he's here with me right now. He's always with me. And so the Spirit should give you faith, power, confidence, potential, insight, accountability. And that helps you to be an influencer. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." And so if you want to overcome sin, if you want to cast out sin, the way to do that is with the Spirit. Walking with the Spirit casts out sin. How many of you have played rock, paper, scissors before? Right? And so we know, okay, rock beats scissors, scissors beats paper, paper beats rock. A few weeks ago, we were out having sushi with Chelsea's family, and there was one piece left of our favorite roll, and Steve Kennard and I were like, dude, you can have it. No, you can have it. I kind of want it. I kind of want it too. And so we're like, all right, let's rock, paper, scissors for it. So bam, 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 done. I won. Ate it.
Wow.
And then Lee Kennard is sitting there in full humility, says, guys, I don't even understand how rock, paper, scissors works. Can you explain it to me? And we all just had this moment of, hold up. How did you get to this point in your life? Like, every time people have ever done this, have you just been like, I don't know what's going on? Just, and she's just never asked. She's like, I don't know, I just never got it, never asked. And so the other night we taught her how to play rock, paper, scissors.
Wow.
You know, if there was rock, paper, scissors in the spiritual world, there really would just be two things. There'd be sin and there'd be the Spirit, and the Spirit wins every time. And so in life, if we want to be influencers over sin in our lives or in this world, the secret weapon is just play the Spirit. Just go, well, what does the Spirit want me to do? What can the Spirit's power do? You know, you play Spirit every time, it's going to beat sin. It's going to beat the world. Spirit beats sin. Nothing beats Spirit. You know, sin in our lives, sin makes us shady, but the Spirit makes us shine. Sin makes you deathly, but the Spirit can make you deadly. If we choose to live by the Spirit instead of sin, instead of being shady and deathly, we will shine and be deadly in this world for God. So we got to walk by the Spirit. Let the Spirit really live through us. I'm going to talk a little more practically in a minute about what that looks like. I hope you see from the scriptures that you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And that means you are Jesus' plan to influence this world. And I hope you see that by the Spirit's power, you can be an influencer. And I hope you really believe that Jesus was the ultimate influencer for God. You know, Jesus amazes me. He was tempted in every way we are and yet never sinned. The world tried every shot it had and not once did it get through to him. He never let the world influence him. He was always influencing it. Every conversation, room he entered, interaction he was in was different because he was there. He was an influencer. Every problem, person, and place that he faced was different and closer to God at the end of it, or at least understood what was true better because he was there.
Right.
Jesus had an effect. He didn't let other people's attitudes, actions, lifestyles, views, words change what he believed, who he was, and what he did. He was the worst one saying, if anything's changing, it's you, but it's not me. Instead, Jesus influenced people with his attitude, his actions, and his words. And that's what he's called us to do, to influence the world with our attitudes, our actions, our words for God. And so we can live as an influencer thinking, as we go through life, whatever situation you're in, wherever you are, whoever you're with, live for Jesus right now. Live like Jesus right now. Right here, right now, how can I have an impact for him? What can I do? And how can I make sure that the world doesn't get what it wants to do? And you can know that the Spirit of Christ is with you to empower you to do whatever it is that Jesus would do in that moment. Amen?
Amen.
And so practically, I just want to give you some ideas of three areas that by the Spirit's power, we could be influencers rather than being influenced.
Come on, bro.
And it's those three areas I said, our attitudes, our actions, and our words. So we need to be influencers with our attitudes. I'll expand this to say influencers with your inner self. Who you are on the inside, your attitude, your heart, your character can have a huge influence on this world. That's a lot of what it means when he says you are the salt of the earth. You know, salt was a preservative. Salt is also something you add to a dish to really bring out the fullness of its flavor. To take what's there and to make it full, to make it good, to make it better. And so to be the salt of the earth means that you are a preserver of good. You are an illuminator, an influencer of good. You bring out, you're meant to bring out the flavor of God in this world. That when you're in a situation, you're the salt in it. You're like, here's what this is supposed to look like. Here's what people are supposed to be like. Here's how God planned life to be. Does that make sense? Like the way salt brings out what food's real flavor is. Salt really doesn't have its own flavor. It kind of just illuminates the flavor of what it's added to. And so you're there to be the salt. You're there to say, no, this is what it's supposed to look like. To live in this world. To be a person.
That's right.
To live the way God made us to. Salt is to be the salt, our inner self, it's your own internal qualities. In 2 Timothy 3, in a list of sins, it says that people are not lovers of the good. That people in this world don't love what's good, what's right. And we need to be people who are lovers of the good. The right thing to do, the good thing to do, what God would do. That's what we say, that's what I want to do. That's what's right. That makes you the salt of the earth. Being the salt of the earth is being wholehearted, sanctified, holy through and through. It's not just an outward thing, it's an inward thing. And people sense that. People see that and people are influenced by that. When you're true, when you're through and through, and you keep yourself pure and right, that influences people. People don't always understand it though, right? When your inner self is right and it's true and it's good and it's godly, people don't understand it, but the truth is they're drawn to it.
That's right.
They might not feel like being like that, but they know they should be.
Wow.
They know that it's right, and so that's how you could be an influence. You know, I think three parts of your inner self are your heart, your character, your attitude. When I think about being an influencer with your heart, what people see is that you genuinely care about people. They see sincerity in you. They see compassion. They see that you're not too busy for people,
right,
but that you're sincerely helpful and there for them. That makes you an influencer when that's your heart. You can influence people in your inner self by your character. That you're the person who does the right thing, regardless of what it costs. You do the right thing. And you do things the right way. You don't take shortcuts or the easy way out. And so you can influence people by being the person that you do the right thing even when you don't have to, or no one would have known if you did or not anyway. That influences people. When you don't cheat in school, but you decide, I'm going to study, work hard, even though everyone else is cheating, and I'm going to get good grades, if not better than them anyway. That's a way to influence people with your character. You know, another way to influence people with your character and just to please God is that whatever company or environment you're in, you're the same person.
Wow.
You're a disciple of Jesus no matter who you're with. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good character. If you find certain environments or people or situations are just keeping you from being like Jesus, you shouldn't be there. If you're not the one influencing it and it's influencing you, you shouldn't be there. But we need to be the people that, regardless of who we're around, we stand up for who we are and what we believe in as disciples. And that you stay true to that and to yourself. Nothing will squash your influence like hypocrisy. People see you're a hypocrite, you're one thing in one group and another in another group, it just squashes your influence. Not taken seriously anymore. Good luck influencing anybody. Or having God want to use you. You've got to stay true, whoever you're with, even when you're alone. That's a part of being an influencer, your character. I'm the same person, no matter who I'm with or even when I'm by myself. I'm the one doing the influencing for God. And even when I'm alone, I don't let my sinful nature, worldliness influence me, but I'm still letting the Spirit be the one influencing me. You know, another big way to be an influencer with your inner self is your attitude.
All right.
Your attitude. And this one can be hard because it's often, when we have a bad attitude, it's caused by something else. It's not like we're like, I'm going to have a bad attitude. Maybe sometimes. But a lot of times we feel like there's a good reason for our bad attitude.
Sure.
Well, this happened. Listen to my day. Right? I could do that. I'm like, well, listen to the day I had. Here's why I have a bad attitude or whatever. And so it's caused by something or someone else. Maybe you're in a group or a conversation and everyone's complaining. And so you start complaining. Or something bad happened in your day, and so now you're just going to act like you had a bad day. instead of really letting the fruits of the Spirit come out through you.
Right.
Now, Philippians chapter 2 says that our attitude should be the same as Jesus is.
Right.
And it says to do everything without complaining or arguing. And that by doing so, we shine like stars in this world. Our attitude can make us influencers and set us apart. You know, when I think about Jesus, Jesus set the temperature of a room.
That's right.
You know, he didn't let the temperature of the room set him. He set the temperature. He wasn't a thermometer. He was a thermostat.
That's right.
Right? And so when you think about your life, when you walk into a room, do you just let the vibe of the room overtake you? Or do you decide, whatever the vibe in here is, I'm going to be like Jesus? You know, if it's down in here, I'm going to come in and I'm going to be up for God anyway. If it's complaining in here, I'm going to come in and be grateful for God anyway. That you're the influencer. You set the temperature. You don't let the temperature set you. That's the way Jesus lived. Are you a thermometer or a thermostat? When you walk into a room or conversation, are you the one influencing it to be more like Jesus? Or does it normally influence you? You know, the secret weapon is the Spirit, right?
Right.
And so how can we influence rather than be influenced in the area of our attitudes? And I think the answer is producing fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So as you're living, the Spirit is trying to be these things. And as you're living, you need to memorize this and know, okay, what does the Spirit want me to do? It wants me to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You've got to know that. And as you're going through life, you've got to go, how can I be the influencer, bear much fruit, produce fruits of the Spirit, despite whatever else is going on here right now? You know, maybe it's when you're waiting in line extra long for something and everyone else is starting to just flare up and be angry and maybe even be cursing and just what is going on. You decide, I'm going to produce patience right now. Now, maybe you're in a conversation that's worldly, that's bitter, that's unspiritual, that's unproductive, and you decide, right now I'm going to have peace, gentleness, and self-control
right. Instead
of give in to the way everyone else is talking. Maybe you're in the middle of a conflict with somebody and you decide, you know what? I'm going to produce love and forbearance, patience here. And you know what? I'm going to be the first to apologize, even though I want them to apologize to me. I'm going to be the first to be humble, even though they're being prideful. And that's how we influence, is by being the first to apologize, the first to be humble. We be the bigger person in those situations. You know, we produce joy, kindness, goodness, that even if we had a bad day and we feel like we have every reason to have a bad attitude, we decide, you know what? In Christ, I have everything I need. I'm going to heaven. And so I'm going to be joyful, I'm going to be kind, I'm going to be friendly, I'm going to be giving, I'm going to be good. And we decide to let the Spirit produce that through us. So how are you doing being an influencer with your inner self? Be an influencer with your attitude, your character, and your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Secondly, your actions. Be an influencer with your actions. Matthew 5:14-16 said, "You are the light of the world." And then it said, "Let your light shine before others." Okay, how do I do that? So that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Right.
So it says we influence the world, we shine, by doing good deeds, not for people to see, but that people see.
Right.
We do good deeds in this world and for people, not for them to see, but that they see.
Okay.
And that ends up directing them back to God. It says that they may see your good deeds and glorify, not you, but your Father in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, this is a big point right here. You're not to be an influencer of for yourself in this world. You're to be an influencer for God. We're not out, I want to be an influencer of my opinion, for my benefit, for my praise. No. As a disciple, the goal of all of this influencing is to bring people and praise closer to God. That's what we're trying to influence. It's not people to us, but influence people towards God and to praise God. And so when I think about that verse I mentioned earlier, make the most of every opportunity.
Right.
Here's kind of how I think about this is God wants every person to come to know him.
Yeah.
And every person to praise him, to live a life that glorifies him. And so our job is to, through our attitude and actions and our words, to make the most of every opportunity by influencing so that we now have an opportunity to guide people and connect people to God.
Right.
Oh, wow, you have an attitude different than other people. You're awesome. Thanks. No. Huh. Now you've gained some influence. What do you do with it? You point it to God. If we don't make that connection, we're not being the light of the world. We're being the light of ourselves.
Ooh,
right? The point of being a light is to direct it back to God, to connect people with God. Does that make sense? And so if we're out there being a light, doing good deeds, saying the right thing, having the right attitude, producing fruits of the Spirit, and we do all of that, and we get praised, but we don't click and go connect you to God, point back to God, then we failed. And we're receiving praise for ourselves that God's the one that deserves it. Because we wouldn't be doing this, we wouldn't be this if it wasn't for the Spirit, if it wasn't for God. So when I talk about being an influencer, it's not so you get praise, it's so God gets praise and gets people drawn closer to Him. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that more in this last point about words, because words are a lot of how we make that connection. People say, man, you're different. Why would you serve me in this way? You don't go, yeah, it's just me being me. Me doing my thing. You know what? This isn't how I always was, but God's changed me. You know, do you go to church? Do you have a relationship with God? Would you want to learn more about God? Man, how'd you get such good grades? Whatever. It's like, you know what? I wasn't always this way, but, you know, God's taught me through the Bible to take school seriously and how to be disciplined and do better in school. Would you want to look at some scriptures together about how you could do better in school and study better? If we don't make that switch, which honestly is where I need to grow the most. I think a lot of times, how could I be an influencer? How can I be a light here? And then I receive praise and I don't always go, now let me use my words to connect this back to God and get you connected with God through this. The point of us gaining the position of influence is not for us to receive praise. It's to use that position that we're now in to point and direct people to God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We gain influence not for ourselves, but to bring it to God. Your actions can have an influence on people. Your good deeds can help draw people into you so that you can then draw them closer to God. That people see that what you do is different than what other people do. What you do is good. What you do is what other people don't do or won't do unless they're paid to or forced to.
Whoa.
And that's what you do because you're a Christian. And people go, wow, I can't believe you're helping me right now. I don't even know you.
Wow.
Or I'm not even paying you. And you go, you know what? It's okay. Jesus taught me to serve. He's done so much for me. I'm happy to help you. You know, and then you can try to connect that to them studying the Bible or getting to know God better. You know, our actions can have an influence. We want to serve. You know, I love living in a home with neighbors, and I have this great opportunity to serve the people I live near. You know, this woman across the street from me, Judy, I've had so many opportunities to serve her. I put her picnic table together for her in her backyard. I've shoveled her driveway a bunch of times. I've moved a lot of boxes in her house. She's in turn given me stuff. But at the end of the day, we've shared our faith with her. When we had a house church recently, she came to our house church. And so this is a Jewish woman, and she said to me, why are you so helpful? Can I pay you for this? I'm like, no, it's totally fine. But then I've invited her to church, and that's the connection there.
Right.
Is if I just said, no, this is just me. That's a lie.
Yeah.
That's not true. That's not just me. That's me plus Jesus.
Right.
And if I don't make that point, I'm in sin.
Yeah,
right? I'm drawing glory to myself. We got to point it back to God and make that connection. But our actions, because I'm serving her, it's pleasing God, but it's also putting me in a position of influence.
Yeah.
Where she sees my life and goes, why is he helping me all the time? And then I get to share my faith with her, and she might be more likely to come to God because of what she sees in my actions. And that's how we should be with the people in our lives. So we serve. We're hospitable. We help people in class. You know, we give rides to people. I remember at MSU when I was going up, when I used to go up that one long hill to go park, anytime a guy student was walking up that, I'd pull over and go, dude, do you want me to give you a ride up there? They'd be like, wow, thank you. Because a bunch of other people probably drove right past him. Always would invite him to Bible talk. You know, and it's an opportunity, man, I serve them and now I have some influence power here.
Nice.
You know, serving people, helping people move. Really, the way we should live is if you see a need, you meet a need.
Amen.
Man, how can I do a good deed here? How can I serve? You use your gifts, your talents, the passions God's given you. You invest in those and you serve with those. You use those to do good deeds. And I will say this, your actions can influence people as much as what you don't do can. You know, it's good things you do, but also that the inaction can influence people. Man, he doesn't do this. She doesn't do that. And sometimes it's what we don't do the wrong things we don't do that can influence people a lot as well. And so we want to live in step with the Spirit on this, that the Spirit is trying to get us to act and to shine, and that we're following His prompting. So how are you doing with having good actions that are being a light for people? You could be an influencer through your actions. And lastly, through your words. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
Be an influencer with your words. You know, I talked about this a little earlier with the fruits of the Spirit, right? That through our words, we should be producing fruits of the Spirit. And so that's a big part of it, how we talk to each other. And just like actions, being an influencer with our words could be as much what we say as it is what we don't say.
Yeah.
And then we don't lose our credibility by saying things we ought not to.
Come on.
Maybe it's coarse joking, complaining, arguing, inappropriate comments, rude or sarcastic comments. Immature comments, being moody. These things can be a bad influence, and not doing them could help us to be good influences. But the main point I want to say with your words is in regards to the mission.
Yeah.
You know, talk about being an influencer. Jesus sent us in the world with a dominating mission. He wasn't just like, go try to find some timid people to influence, or go try to have a little splash in this world. He said, go make disciples of all nations.
Right.
Talk about a vision for influence.
Right.
Jesus wants us to have a huge influence.
Yeah.
He starts it off by saying, listen, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. Now go be influencers of the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
I've got all the power. I'm in charge. I'm in control. Now go influence this world. And I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I'm going to be with you always.
Yeah.
This mission should give us such a strong sense of, I'm here to be an influencer. People are living in darkness. I'm here to bring them to the light through my words, through Jesus' words, through sharing my faith and studying the Bible with people. I can influence this world and people's lives for eternity. You know, we've got to know that we've got something incredible.
Yeah.
And I just want to say this quick. You've got to make sure that other people's words don't influence your faith more than the Word of God does. Because a lot of people have a lot of things to say about the Word or about Christianity that just aren't true or fair. And a lot of you might sit in classes like I did where even professors slam Christianity sometimes. Slam God. And honestly, I'm so frustrated about it because first of all, when they're talking about Christianity, they're not talking about real Christianity.
Right.
They're talking about false Christianity, which I'm with them. It doesn't paint it a good picture of Christianity.
Yeah.
But they're not right about what real Christianity is. And so you don't need to listen to that. And they're not right about the Bible. You know, there's this chart that I'm not going to spend much time on. But Mark, if you could throw it up there quick. Look at this is a bunch of different philosophers on the left. And their writings and the time when it was written and how valid it is. And a lot of professors will get up and quote Plato and Aristotle and maybe Caesar and not question it at all. And that question, did Plato really say that? Is that valid? Is that really from him? But when it comes to the Bible, they're so quick to say, can we trust it? Is it true? Is it reliable? Was it changed over time? Well, let's compare the writings of Plato and Aristotle a little bit to the writings of the New Testament. You know, look at the red dots. Plato, his writings were written between 427 and 347 AD. The earliest copy we have is 1,200 years old.
Wow.
1,200 years old is the earliest copy we have from the original. Writings of Caesar, right? He wrote between 144 BC. The earliest copies we have are 1,000 years old. That means from the earliest copy that we have right now is 1,000 years older than the original copy.
Wow.
Look at Aristotle, wrote between 384 and 322 BC. The earliest copy we have is 1,400 years old. Professors will never question or doubt the validity of writings of Plato, Aristotle, Caesar. They'll have you read them and not question it at all that that person wrote it. And yet look how it stacks up to the New Testament. Or even Homer in the Iliad, 500 years old. The New Testament was written in the first century, and the earliest copies we have are from within the first century, after it was written, less than 100 years old.
Wow.
Compare that to the writings of these other guys. Man, they're going to get up there. It's just Satan.
Yeah.
It's just worldliness. It's empty philosophies of this age. You don't need to let what a professor says. Who cares if they're a professor? Who cares?
Right.
They're not Jesus. They're not the Bible. They're not God.
Yeah.
The scriptures are way more true than things they're not questioning.
Wow.
And so you can live with so much more confidence that what you believe is right and true than Satan will have you think. Your words have so much truth and validity if they're based on the Bible. The Bible is so valid and so true. And I just want you to know that your words, as you speak the scriptures, is more power than anybody else's words. The word of God is the most powerful thing that we have. So use your words to influence. Use God's word to influence. Study the Bible with people. Share scriptures with people. Bring scriptures into conversation. This book literally has divine power to change people's lives, hearts, minds, their way of thinking, everything about this world. If we get people in this, if we use this, if we teach with this, we could be the ultimate influencers in this world. The last thing I'll say on this is that if you feel like you're afraid, you're timid, you don't know what to do, what to say when it comes to sharing your faith or something like that, is rely on the secret weapon, the Holy Spirit. Matthew 10, 17 to 20, Jesus says, "When you are brought before synagogues, kings, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." She's saying, look, when you got to speak before people you're intimidated by, don't worry. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. It'll give you what to say. Just start talking and the Spirit will figure the words out. And so I want to say this, as you're out knowing you've got to share your faith, sitting next to somebody thinking, I want to talk to him about God. Somebody just praised you because you served them or had a good attitude or did something different. You're thinking, how do I use my words to direct it to God? If you're with your family and you want to reach out to him, and in all of this, you're thinking, calculating, overthinking, what do I do? What do I say? I'm afraid. I don't know. Remember this verse. Yeah. Open your mouth and just start talking. Hey, it's because, or hey, I'd like, and just say a word. Just say, once you start talking, you're not going to just stop. Hey, you know, once you start talking, the rest is going to come out. And this, you got to trust, the Spirit's going to be with me to finish this here. And so your words can have influence because the Holy Spirit is ready to speak through you. Through the Word of God, but also just through this supernatural wisdom it can give you once you just start talking. And so if you don't know what to say in these situations on campus, sharing your faith in studies, whatever it is, just start talking and bring God into it, and the Spirit's just going to work it out. So I want you to think about, how can you grow in using your words and relying on the Spirit to influence others? Be an influencer with your words. You know, God's given us some amazing ways that we can influence this world with our attitude, our actions, our words. And God's not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. And so let's embrace our calling to live in this world as influencers for God. Amen. That just like Jesus, where you go will be different because you're there. Conversations will be different because you're in it. Classrooms will be different because you're in them. This ministry will be different because you're in it. Your family, the home that you live in, will be different because you live there and because Christ lives in you. And that you're going to go through life in this world not being the one influenced by it, but being the one doing the influencing. And as you influence the world through your attitude, through your actions, through your words, you're not going to bring the praise to yourself. You're going to use that as an opportunity to now direct the praise and that person closer and back to God. Being a man or woman of God fit for service in the kingdom of God is being an influencer. So this semester, this year, with the rest of our lives, let's live by the Spirit and let's be influencers in this world. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Thank you, guys. Come on,